Welcome to episode 307 of the Ben Briggs podcast. I am Ben Briggs. It is Sunday, people. Sunday, the 24th of September, 2023. And we will start the episode. Holy fucking shit. We will start the episode with apologies, people, because I have not put one of these out for 2 weeks. Two goddamn motherfucking weeks. I don't even try and tell me that you haven't noticed. That is because for the last 2 weeks, I have been hanging out of my asshole, metaphorically and literally. Not literally, but parts unknown have. I've been a sick boy. I know. Spread that sympathy for me. I've been a bit of a sick boy the last couple of weeks. I've had some sort of sickness, bug, throwing up. I know, but you probably don't want to listen to this. But throwing up, both ends, not being able to eat anything, puking. Yeah, everything that you can possibly imagine, bodily fluids-wise, apart from the exciting fluids, obviously, has been coming out of my body for the last couple of weeks, and I have been suffering like anything. This is how much I've been suffering. I've lost 10 pounds in weight in the space of the first week that this happened. I just couldn't keep anything down. I was running to the toilet to be sick. Oh, every time I had something to eat, God knows what it's been, but it's been it's some sort of virus. I've got nothing dodgy, may I add. nothing too dodgy like that. But I've been feeling fucking diabolical. I have never, ever felt like this before. And people are going, is it food poison? Is it not? As regular listeners will know, I am one of those vegetarian fairies. So I don't think it's been food poisoning. It's been some sort of virus or whatever that's been going about. But it's only really sort of like yesterday and today that I've been feeling a little bit better. And it's gradually been sort of like coming on and getting worse. And I thought after the end of the first week of it, I thought, I'm starting to feel a bit better now. And then the second wave hit me. And I was feeling fucking dog rough. So, I don't know, man. But I have definitely dropped 10 pounds. So my little bit of belly that I developed since COVID, my COVID belly that we all kind of developed a little bit, didn't we? Was that just me who just started putting on weight during COVID because of my lethargy? That has now gone. So, you know what? That's very underrated. Weight wasting diseases. Any disease that makes you lose weight rapidly that you get. Very, very underrated. I know, like, usually that is like the plummet towards pushing up the daisies. But there must be a point at which you get some horrible wasting disease where you look absolutely fucking fantastic. In it? You may have that disease, but oh my God, I am rocking a body to die for. Literally. That's it. It must all, like, the weight drops off and you just think, holy fucking shit, I am looking good today. I have this hideous disease, but Jesus, I finally hit my target weight. Things are looking good. And then obviously the next day things plummet. But you've got to make the most of those 24 hours. Definitely. I think. There you go. There's a little upturn on death there and dying of horrendous diseases. Hey, at some point you're going to look fucking good. If you're overweight, isn't it? And you get like some sort of horrendous weight wasting disease that just eats away at you. At some point, you're going to look good. So that's something to look forward to. There you go. There's the positives in everything. Let's have a little bit of tea. Oh my God. Yeah, we're back to the tea. Back to the tea because it seems like summer is over. The last time I spoke to you, we were going through a fucking heat wave here. I think the last gig I did before I spoke to you 2 weeks ago was in Birmingham, and the fucking, oh God, it was like the hottest day of the year, I think, and being stuck in that club, the heat backstage was just immense. There was no, there was air conditioning outside in the club, but it didn't seem to be working with like 150 people in there or whatever. But the heat backstage was just relentless. It just felt like you were in a sauna. Particularly there was a bit where the toilets were backstage, where you walk through a door and it was like deeper into the club, and it was just fucking absolutely brutal. And I think that may have exacerbated the symptoms of this, what I had, because the next day, I don't think I did the podcast the next day because I was starting to feel really rough and couldn't keep any food down that day. So, so that's when it kind of kicked in for me. But Jesus Christ, I came off stage that night and I was soaked in sweat. And I use deodorant, people. I use deodorant liberally. You know what I mean? I'm not one of these people who like sprays it all around or anything like that. I'm a roll-on guy. You know what I mean? I want it to get under there. I don't want it to be going off in the atmosphere, killing the ozone layer. I want that deodorant under my armpits, doing the job it's meant to do. That's it, isn't it? You know, you don't need to be spraying around yourself, do you? There's always people who walk around and they smell like cheap fucking deodorant, because nobody, deodorant companies and cologne companies don't seem to intersect. You know what I mean? You either have a deodorant that works and does the job, or you have cologne company that you use, isn't it? Those two things don't. I know cologne companies do deodorant as well, but their deodorant doesn't seem to have that industrial strength that at times we all need that, don't we? And that was one of those days where I needed that. I needed, you know, Right Guard's fucking strongest shit they've got. I need their, you know, I need their Premier League product for that evening. Jesus Christ, I came off stage and my shirt was soaked all down the back, you know, where you get that sweaty back marks like on films where that's always a thing on films, isn't it, where somebody's been working out and they have exact sweat marks under their armpits and down their back. They never have it sort of like underneath their fucking tits like on guys, do they? It's always down the back, under the armpits to show that they've been working out. They're the sweat marks I had, those Hollywood sweat marks. That's what I had. But like all over my shirt was drenched. It was just relentless in that club, the heat. But it was nice. It was a fun gig. So, you know, there I am, sweating for my art, people. That's what we do. The last couple of weeks I've obviously been out of action, people. This is merely an update for you guys about what I've been doing. But let's have some more tea. Settle into this, shall we? It's been a couple of weeks. Come on. It's going to take a while to settle back into this. I'll tell you what, that tastes fucking good. There's nothing like a fucking English cup of tea, is there? Puts hairs on your chest, that's it. So basically what I've been doing is running to the toilet and lounging around in bed feeling sorry for myself. That's basically what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. I had that one gig that I did. I think there was one gig in between as well when I was feeling a little bit better on the Saturday. I did a gig then, and then I've done nothing gig-wise until Friday this week. When I started feeling half okay on Friday and did a gig in the middle of nowhere, near Stratford-upon-Avon, by the way, which I know it's not an underrated area of the country, Stratford-upon-Avon. It's a beautiful place. Those Tudor buildings and the waterway going through it. But this was a village kind of like near Stratford-upon-Avon. But it was just picture postcard, front of a toffee or fudge packet, you know, fudge carton, that sort of like village. It was like black and white stone built cottages with thatch roofs. I think the whole village was virtually stone built. It was middle class white older people, which notoriously, as we well know, people on this podcast, notoriously can be a sticky wicket, so to speak. Those audiences can be older, middle class, white, can be a little bit stuffy, not really willing to go with anything too dark, nothing too offensive, not really good fun. Those sort of gigs. I know there's middle. Hey, if you're a middle class older person listening to this, you know what you like. You know what you're like, don't you? You don't want anything offensive. You want to go to Waitrose or M&S. That's where you want to get your food from, because Lidl's and Aldi is too out there for you, isn't it? You want your tiny little tartlets to eat. your vegetable little tartlets, don't you? Because you like the crumbly pastry on there. You know what you like, don't you? That's it, isn't it? You want nothing that's going to test your boundaries or offend you in any way. You just want a whole world view that everything's fine, everything's okay, and you're going to keep your pension and die with your family around you. That's basically it, isn't it? Is that it? That's the middle class white person's dream right there, isn't it? You know, your dog that you've loved for years dies this day before you do. You're a little bit upset, but you want to die the same day, surrounded by all of your family, your grandkids, all crying, telling you you're a great person and that you never did anything wrong in life. Ah, that is the middle class dream, isn't it? Middle class dream. And then also you want to get a good price, secondhand price for the Audi that you drive. Ah, there we go. Anyway, it was full of people like that. Or so I thought. You know, even I can go wrong sometimes, people. You know, I walked into that gig and I was like, oh, fuck. Just driving into the village gave me a bit of a shudder, because I thought, oh, fucking hell. Here we go. If it's locals for this gig, the village seemed to be about 10 miles from anywhere in any direction. So it's like right out in the sticks. Driving into the village as well. This is the worst thing. Driving into the village. You know, you get those one way, like where the road narrows and somebody's got priority over the other one. For some reason, and I don't know what it was, maybe it's because I haven't been feeling good, maybe because I've not driven like for a week or so. I don't know. I hope it's not that I forgot how to drive. But for some reason, the oncoming vehicles to me had priority. And I looked at the sign, which is basically an arrow, a tiny arrow going red in my direction and a white arrow going the other way. You know the sign. So it showed, and it says priority to oncoming vehicles. For some reason, that didn't register in my fucking head. I don't know why. It just, I couldn't, and I thought I had the right of way. So I almost smashed head on into somebody. And I even, the worst thing about it was, I saw him coming towards me and I whacked my horn on like I had the priority. And then the guy sort of like pulled up alongside me and just was going mental. And then I re-looked at the sign and just went, oh yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, me old buddy. Sorry for absolutely shitting you up there. He was a middle-class white guy as well, so, you know. clearly a local in the area. Let's have some more tea. Hang on. So that happened on the way into the gig. So I was a little bit... I tell you what, the worst thing about that, I don't know if it's... because I've been feeling ill or not being not feeling that well or whatever. But that potential catastrophe that I narrowly avoided, narrowly as well, by pulling over to the side, I accepted my fate a little bit more easily than I was expecting. You know, I was completely relaxed with the fact that this is going to be the end of my life. My life comes to an end here, and I am comfortable with that. It was quite unnerving with what ease I actually accepted my fate, that I was going to smash head on with another vehicle careering towards me. So obviously I've got to work through those issues. Anyway, ah dear, that's what I've got to do. Just work through that. I get to the gig. It's kind of like a, it's kind of like a village pub, but it's quite a big village pub. There's a sort of there's a, like a function room or whatever. Like there's a main tiny. There's loads of little. Any village pub like that in the UK that's old stone built. They've always added onto it over the centuries. So there's always like tiny little cubbyhole rooms and like things dotted about all over the place, and it's easy to get lost. It's like a maze. Any of those pubs like that are like a maze. So the room is stuck on the side of the building. There's probably about 90, 100 people in there, I think, in the room. So it's kind of like a nice room. There was a complete wanker in the audience at the start that Ryan, the MC, had to deal with. And it just gets, we were talking about it, it just gets boring, basically, because there's always somebody, having done this for like 16 years, you see the same types of people at the same types of gigs. There's always somebody, usually a guy in the audience, who wants to chat and wants to be the center of attention. And if you don't give him that attention, then he'll turn around, start turning around, talking to his mates, or sit in the audience looking forlorn with his arms crossed, not laughing at anything if you've told him to shut up and just let the acts do their thing. And this guy was exactly the same as that. And the worst thing about it is people like that seem to think that it's so fucking original that they've like you've never encountered that sort of person before. But it just gets, from our perspective, it just gets fucking boring. Absolutely boring. You know, you meet so many people like that who want to be, you know, funny. They want to try and take over the night. And then they get some sort of attitude problem and act like a petulant child as soon as you tell them to shut the fuck up. Which Ryan did with aplomb, I must admit. He did a good job. So that guy, like for the rest of the first section, was just sitting there with his arms folded, talking to his mate next to him. And then apparently in the break, the mate told him to not come back in. So that's a good mate. That's a good mate for you, isn't it? When you're ruining a comedy night for other people in the audience, you're a good mate if you can say, look, I don't think you ought to come back in because you're fucking up the evening with your weird energy. And it was totally just the weird energy of the guy sitting there. Everybody around him was sort of like looking at him and staring at him and stuff. And it was just a weird energy. And then as soon as you remove that from the atmosphere, from the audience, the atmosphere of the gig completely changed. Just one person with their weird fucking vibe can fuck up a completely lovely gig. And after that, the gig changed completely. And the second half of the gig was just absolutely lovely. Really, really nice. Really good fun. And it was very enjoyable. I didn't think I'd get away with the material that I got away with. They were really good fun, really good, really nice audience, and kind of went with everything. Even though some of the stuff is quite dark, I was happy. It's nice to corrupt an audience like that. Totally. Nice to corrupt an audience like that. And they were so much fun. You know, older people in the audience, you know, 60, 70 years old. Holy fucking shit, there's life in the old dog yet, isn't it? That's why, you see, because they're living in a bloody nice village out in the middle of the sticks. And it was kind of like a village event. So everybody sort of like came out from the village. So there was a lot of older people because obviously it's a lovely village in that. And bloody expensive properties around there, I imagine. But it was nice to sort of like corrupt a whole sort of village. I'll tell you what, one thing I've realised as well, since I've had my disease, are we calling it that? Since I've had my disease, my condition, that's what I ought to say, in it, to solicit sympathy. Now I'm living with my condition. Since I've had my condition, I am thirsty as fuck. Is that something that's like regular with this? So I'm going to have some more tea. Hang on. My lips are dry. I'm thirsty as anything. I'm drinking water like a trooper, to the point that I am taking far too many pisses in. I know you probably don't all need to know this, people, but I need to get this out. And that's why it's called the Ben Briggs Podcast and not the Listener Podcast. Although that is an interesting perspective on all of this. But I need to get this out, yeah. Yeah, I've just been pissing like a fucking racehorse. But also still thirsty. So if anybody knows what those symptoms are, please write in and diagnose me immediately. I didn't even Google the symptoms I had to see what it could possibly be. You know why I didn't Google that? Because if you Google something, it all ends in cancer. That's any symptoms that you Google, it will end with you having some sort of cancer. And I didn't feel like reading that whilst I was throwing up my fucking ring piece on a regular basis. So, you know, that's another thing as well. I remember going to the doctors. When was this? A couple of years ago, I had to go to the doctors about. That was it. When I had my hernia operation. When was that? Like 2-3 years ago? When was it? COVID time, 2020, 3 years ago, I had that. I remember initially going to that and the guy fucking used Google for the symptoms. And you're like, is this the, you're a doctor, right? You feel like saying that. You're a doctor, right? Why the fuck? I could have stayed at home and Googled this. You know you can do something about it and put me on a path, but really, you're going to sit there in front of me and you're going to Google. This does not inspire confidence, my friend. Also, he misdiagnosed it and said it was a pulled muscle. So, you know, that's where your Googling gets you. Anyway, let's calm down, Ben. Let's calm down. I'll tell you what, I'm bloody hot today as well. This does not look good. You know what I mean? I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm thirsty. I've just come off the back. I tell you what, I'm trimmer. I am trimmer than I've ever been, though. Oh, Jesus, I'm back down to my fucking fighting weight here. I'll fly weight Benny. So I need to start putting on a few pounds. I have been, since I've been able to eat, which is basically Friday and Saturday, I have hammered. I don't know if anybody else has got an excuse to put on weight, but I quite like my food, right? I've never really put on weight that much. But only since I've been teetering on the back end of my 40s have I started to put on weight. So I have to be careful. I don't have to be careful because I'm not like a humongous, but I have to be careful that I don't end up as one of those kind of like athletic build guys who's got a fucking belly on him. You know, we've all seen them, haven't we? The old pot belly with a slimmer guy physique. It never looks good. And also, they end up looking like some sort of weird sort of bird that's just had a massive lunch, just swallowed a fish that's far too big for it. And I have, for the last 24, 48 hours, I don't think I've stopped eating. I've eaten everything known to man. I've eaten. I've had grapes. I know that. I was worried about that as well. I thought grapes is not going to be a good option. Hammered those. Bananas. Hammered those. Too many bananas, if anything. I've had fucking cereal bars. I've had fucking, you know, pasta. I've had, like, Greek yogurt, maple syrup, and fucking granola. Oh! I've had the lot. Salad. Trying to get in a few vitamins inside me. It's amazing. And the one thing I have realised as well, if you go for a stretch of not really eating anything, if you go through that stretch of not really having anything to eat or being able to keep anything down, and you're knackered and you're tired and you're not sleeping well, as soon as you start getting better and as soon as you have like a nourishing, you know, high vitamin kind of meal, oh man, you can feel. You can feel that virtually going through your body, the energy it gives you. I felt like, you know, like when Popeye eats the spinach and his arms expand and like you get the dong, dong, dong and his legs expand and stuff like that. I felt like that. I had like some pasta with some salad, load of vegetables and just the feeling of food going through your body. This could be my new addiction, I think. I think I've fallen in love with... This has made me fall in love with food. Not that I was ever out of love with it, but I was never really that bothered, you know? I saw it as fuel. I'd just, like, eat it. But now, after this... just the taste of everything seems unbelievable and I can't stop eating. I'm going to be on this podcast in 3 weeks' time. I'm going to have to have the video pushed back further just to get me in on this. I'm just going to be a blob on a screen, just eating, just ice cream. That's what I'll change it to, the Ben Briggs Ice Cream Podcast. There's no talking. It's just like ASMR. You're just watching me eating ice cream for half a fucking hour. That's it. This week's episode, Ben devours some chocolate chip, isn't it? And then starts some raspberry ripple that will be finished in next week's episode. I don't know, people, but I've definitely refound my love for food, that's for sure. And especially that cook in the oven bread. You know, you get it from the supermarket and it's fucking, you know, not, they've not finished it off, have they? They're basically, it's not dough, you know, it's not sloppy dough. They've stuck it in for a bit, haven't they? They've done a little bit. And then they've gone, oh, we'll package this up. You can, you finish it off yourself. That's what you do. You cook the rest of this bread yourself at fucking home. We can't be arsed. We'll start you off on it. We ain't finishing it for it. Fuck you. You go and finish off cooking that at home for yourself. But I've become addicted to that as well because it tastes so good when it comes out warm. So, so good. Anyway, what are we on? Holy fucking shit. 30 minutes already. We're going to have to call a day there, people. This is the first one back. I am sweating like fuck at the minute as well. Jesus. Sweating like fuck on the first one back. But, yeah, so that's basically what I've been up to, people. I hope you're keeping well out there. Hey, how's you? How's you doing? It was all about me a little bit there, weren't it? As ever it is, this narcissistic journey that I take myself on every week. So hopefully this evil shyster of a disease is on the way out now. That's for sure. And we can get regular updates, but and keep this to a weekly thing as we have done for so long now. Too many years. It was pretty lethal though, I must admit. If you do get it, just stay away from everybody else. Lock yourself in a room, hose yourself down every couple of hours, and plenty of water. That's it. Which is exactly what I'm gonna do now. This has been episode 307 of the Ben Briggs Podcast, an explaining episode about what's been going on. Holy fucking shit in my life. I will be back next Sunday, motherfuckers. So have a good working week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I shall speak to you then. Take care.